Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I am your co-host, Michelle Maros, and I am sitting here with my mom, Barb, looking at her from across the table.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Mom.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm really feeling grateful today and happy to be sitting across the table with you, having another conversation and being with our beautiful community.
I love that. You know what I was thinking recently, which is kind of cheesy, but we talk about all of the things. As I was going to sleep the other night, I was thinking about that I feel like I feel happy in life. And I don't know if I've ever felt that before.
Wow. Wow, I have goosebumps. No, I have goosebumps. That's really profound.
Like, of course, there's things that I am working for, but I feel like an overall sense of content.
Content. That's just what I was thinking.
And who knows? It could be because I'm medicated or just because I'm doing the work, but, or maybe it's a little bit of a both.
No, I think you are doing the work. And I love the, I love
that. But it was cool to think about that.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I love the idea and the feelings that come along with the awareness of in the moment, in that moment, you felt contentment. Mm-hmm. It's very rare that we acknowledge what we're feeling in the moment. And I think this is a great episode for next time. I love it. I do. I think it's really amazing, you know, because we can feel the feelings of happiness or contentment or joy, but do we actually have the other witness in our beings or have the other energy or the other feeling of knowing that we're feeling this? It's kind of like, it's a really cool thing, a really cool thing. And I don't know if I'm doing a very good job of explaining it. That's why I think it could be an episode. You've got the witness, the other voice or the other seeing within, seeing the contentment that you're feeling. I know I got really deep with this.
Well, but I think it's just, you know how we always talk about affirmations and sometimes they feel like they can be out of touch or not apply because they're so far from your reality, but you're like, fake it till you make it. And I think that was my viewpoint on it for so long. But I think maybe me feeling this way in this moment is proof that like, you just keep using the tools because one day you'll be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. This is good. I've arrived. And I'm not saying that I've reached a point and now I'm done or that everything's perfect, but I just feel like, or maybe it's just being older and maybe a little bit wiser, but I'm like, wow, things are pretty good.
Well, I would like to add something that I
feel
believe.
Pretty good.
Yeah. The work that we do, of becoming aware of connecting with ourselves, of cultivating a best friend relationship with ourselves, cultivating what we're going to talk about today, acceptance. I believe all of that is cumulative. It doesn't go to waste that we sit down and in quiet with ourselves and meditate, or another way to talk about meditation that we talk about all the time is just to kind of be in quiet with yourself and noticing, just allowing yourself to be and noticing what you're thinking, what you're feeling. It's cumulative. Yeah. We can do that every day and it may not feel like anything's happening, but it is. And so I think that's why practice, whatever it is that we want to practice, meditation, affirmations, any of the things that connect us within instead of only being connected on the outside world is going to have a cumulative effect on our happiness, on our state of being, and on our contentment. I love it. Thank you for sharing that.
And I do think that like what we talk about of becoming your own best friend and even faking it until you make it, you do start to like yourself in a way where you want to root for yourself and you have confidence in yourself, and the trickling down of what that means for your life and setting boundaries and self-care and saying no and not being a people pleaser and acceptance and everything else kind of comes with that. And it's just cool to see it all happen.
The results. Well, when I was studying, you know, I studied all the great traditions, and when I was in my Buddhism era,
she's in her Buddhism era.
One of the things that really struck me, you know, was that whole idea that we can, like, we understanding that it's all of this works, and it's not, you can read about it all day long, but until you actually experience it,
yeah,
and until you actually practice it, it seems more elusive. Like you were saying that you never felt like that. So experience is the only way. We can get all the degrees, we can do all of the reading, we can do all of the things, but until we actually practice so that we can have the firsthand experience in it, it's magical. It changes everything.
Yeah.
Because then we get that little inner knowing and that confirmation, wow, this really does work. And I also, can I just give one little caveat to the fake it till you make it? That is a 12-step addiction recovery saying, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason in this era, there's some pushback on that because people have lost the understanding of what that means. When you take a quote out of context and then you start morphing it into all kinds of memes and all kinds of things, it loses what it's actually meant. Fake it till you make it doesn't mean be inauthentic. Don't be yourself. Don't be real. Be a version of someone else so that you can then make it through someone else's, you know, name or identity or whatever it is. Fake it till you make it means just what you were saying earlier, Michelle, that all of these affirmations and mantras and beautiful sayings and poems and all the things that people write about taken from their own experiences means you are worthy. You are enough. You are extraordinary. You are an incredible being from the inside out. You are all these things. There's a Upanishad, you are that. And so fake it till you make it means we've forgotten who we are. So in the addiction community, it means you are all these things, and it's never up for debate. It's never anyone else's interpretation. It's none of that. You are all these things, but we maybe don't believe that right now. So we have to pretend like we know it so that we will keep practicing. And then one day you get to the place where you just talk to us about, wow, I actually believe it and I actually feel it and I'm content. So I just had to say that because fake it till you make it has helped me. I didn't think any of those
things about
myself.
Well, because it's not actually faking it. You're tapping into what's yours. You just
don't believe it.
Maybe haven't believed it or accessed it yet for yourself.
Exactly.
So it's not fake.
No.
It's what's real, but it's what we've denied.
It's almost like that quote, believe it and you'll see it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if you like that better than fake it till you make it. But I just wanted to say that because it's a very powerful, powerful, powerful quote and experience in life. And it keeps you going.
Yeah. I love it.
Yes. So.
So today, we've had lots of requests for this topic on the whole. And I felt that since your word of the year is this topic, it could be fun to dive into it. And just, we've had lots of chats about it lately, personally. And I think that there tends to be maybe some misunderstandings with the word. Couldn't figure out what word I was trying to say. And as we say often, we like to redefine words and define words and make them more simple and understandable and digestible. And so today I really wanted to talk about acceptance and what real acceptance looks like and what it means and how it plays out in our lives. Because I think just to start off and to jump in, a lot of times people equate acceptance to being a doormat or rolling over to the bad things in life, or just even going back to, you know, episodes a couple of weeks ago, like settling and not being confident in what you want. And it can be that if you let it play out in your life that way. But there's a really empowering way to live life with acceptance. And so I would love to chat about that this week.
I think it's not lost on me that we started this whole episode with you having this beautiful awareness and feeling about contentment. And now we're talking about acceptance, which I agree with you completely is also misunderstood. I've had people ask me recently when I talk about it, and yes, it is my word for 2024, because I want to remember, if you haven't listened to some of the episodes, I am in recovery for almost 40 years now with an eating disorder of bulimia. So I went into recovery 12-step program. And so the Serenity Prayer has been a huge foundation of my life. And so acceptance is that. And having gone through this divorce and this 3 years of absolute hell in many instances, acceptance was elusive for me sometimes, even though I've been practicing meditation and mindfulness for over almost 40 years. So acceptance is not easy, but I want to say acceptance doesn't mean, because it would have been easy for me to feel this way, especially before I got into treatment. Acceptance doesn't mean that, oh, this is my karma. I deserve this. I deserve to be abused. I deserve to be beaten up. I deserve to be disrespected. I deserve all of these bad things that are happening to me. This must be what they're talking about. How can I get to a place where I just let it pile on me because I deserve it? That is not what we're talking about today. And I really want you to feel that energy of you don't deserve harm. You don't deserve all these things. What we deserve as humans is to recognize that there are things in life that we cannot change. Life is going to give us whatever it's going to give us. We have no control over that. We have no control. I can wake up in the morning ready to start my day with, you know, a whistle in my mind or whatever, and a pep in my step or whatever that is. I don't know. Like a really happy-go-lucky person. I can really be grounded and then something can happen and oh my goodness. So I just wanted to frame that acceptance doesn't mean that you deserve to be abused or in a relationship or in a work environment or anything where you are beaten up or disrespected. And that's what I love about this conversation today. We're going to reframe a little bit what acceptance means. And I believe that once you kind of get it or get a feeling of it and try to digest the words of the Serenity Prayer that I want to talk about a little bit, but also digest that accepting what life is bringing us in the present moment because we have no control over it. Okay, now what? Take a deep breath. Now what action can I take? Is very freeing. And my whole life has been about freedom. I want to be free. And freedom doesn't mean that I can do anything that I want. Freedom means that I understand what I can and can't do and then take the actions needed that are going to serve me and all of humanity around me.
Well, I think that ultimately this podcast just goes around and around talking about the same topics through different lenses, because I feel like through this vein of acceptance and the Serenity Prayer, which you're going to say,
yes.
It's about taking the pause.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about all the time.
Yes.
And finding the space so that you can have your power.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking the pause and just asking yourself the question in that pause. What can I do here? And sometimes when we ask ourselves that question, we are able to, you know, sink into the truth within and say, well, really, one thing I can do here now is accept what's happening, and another answer is going to come to me in the next moment. And another answer is going to come to me in the next moment. Because when we say to accept the present moment as it is, we're not saying that, okay, I got to accept this and just bear with it and suffer.
Right.
You know, sometimes it might bring pain and suffering, but it means that every moment changes. Nothing less. Life isn't impermanent. Every moment is impermanent. And so every moment changes. So what it means is in this moment, I can bear this until the next moment comes and I may be presented with a different option, or I may be presented with a different scenario. So the Serenity Prayer, I would imagine many of you have heard this before, is God.
It's not just if you're in recovery.
Oh no, it's become mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's become mainstream, but it is born out of the 12 steps. It's born out of the AA book. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And always remember when we use the word God, and I believe that this is what AA and Bill W. meant when you wrote Alcoholics Anonymous book, the big book, it's the God of your understanding, because they weave that through all of the steps, all of the 12 steps and the teachings of AA. So it's the God of your understanding. So it's not some one time, one fits all God. It just means you, what are you feeling? And it's a God, really, for me, it's a God, it's a inner guide. It's like, it's born from within me.
Right.
The answers and the messages and the whispers of the heart all come from within. It's God working through me, higher power. So just to make that clear, not understanding that, but also feeling that you are the one in charge of defining who God is for you.
Right. It's not exclusive if that word doesn't resonate for you.
Right. Universe, right. Energy, whatever it is that makes you feel connected.
Right.
To something or someone that you can walk the path with, that you can rely on from the inside out.
Right. Let's take a quick break.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
And we're back. So I feel like maybe just breaking down that prayer for a minute, because I think that there's so much packed in, and then going into how this really plays out in life. But I find that just the words that are used, like perfectly encapsulate, I think, everything that we want to say. So we're done. No, I'm just kidding. But grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference is acceptance. Because with understanding that there's so much of life that we can't control and predict and change and understand, requires the grace of acceptance. And then the discernment of knowing what you can do to influence what comes next. I don't know. It's such an interesting equation, I guess.
It is, because I feel acceptance is hard until we can break it down today and understand what it truly means, so we can actually get it from the head, acceptance from the head. I think the head and the mind is always telling us, accept what? I can't accept this. I can't live this way. This is so awful.
Acceptance doesn't mean like you're condoning what's happening.
Yeah, but the head is telling you that you are not capable of doing this and you should not have to do this. And so I think, I'm sorry, getting worked up, because I think that's what the mind does. I was trying to portray, my mind screams at me sometimes and says, What do you mean? You don't have to accept this. You're better than this. You go tell them what they need. You go give them their 2 cents worth of anger or irritability or whatever it is. And I think that's not what we're saying. And that's not what the Serenity Prayer is saying. It truly is wanting you to come face to face with truth. You know, truth is, for me, truth is love. Truth is acceptance. Truth is everything. And I feel like we've forgotten what that word truth even means.
Well, yeah.
So truth is really coming in the present moment with what is, because we have no control. Like, why would we spend our whole lives trying to change and control things that we actually have no control over? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So this episode or this whole talk on acceptance is maybe just change it to truth, or change it to the reality of what is.
Right.
You know, find a word that maybe sits better with you than acceptance. If acceptance is telling you that you have to be a doormat, or that you have to accept abuse or disrespect, it's really just being in the, showing up in the present moment with what is, and understanding that that moment is already going to change by virtue of it being impermanent. And I think that is the best definition of acceptance, that everything changes second by second. And so by virtue of present moment being impermanent, like it's going to change. Acceptance means going with the flow, mm-hmm. going with what life is presenting me in every moment. And at 11 o'clock in the morning, I might be presented with something that is so tragic. And maybe by 11:15, I've got a couple of solutions in my mind of what I can do that I actually can do. Instead of ruminating, how is this happening to me? How could this be happening? What did I do wrong? What did they do wrong? Instead of just, okay, this is happening. Let me take a deep breath. Let me understand in this moment what's happening. And now what could I do? And sometimes it's just to kind of sit and wait, which is very hard. We don't like to sit and wait. We want instant results and instant gratification. So
that was so good.
Well, it's hard to, thank you. that's why acceptance is my word. I was struggling with acceptance all year last year. So, and why is that? I think you've written about this many times, is that it's hard to practice acceptance when things aren't going our way. It's like counterintuitive. It's like my brain can't say this is okay when it's not okay.
But like you're not, I think that's the crux of the issue. Acceptance doesn't mean that it's okay. It's right. Just what it is. And I think so many people think that, and you just said it, that what's happening is okay. So I have to just take it. Whereas acceptance is just, like you said so beautifully, being in alignment with what's true and what's real in the moment, knowing that moment to moment things are changing and not denying the reality of the present moment. And not fighting against the present moment. And I think that's where the Eckhart Tolle quote that I know we've talked about on this podcast is so perfect. But I think sometimes it gets misunderstood because he says, accept
the present moment as if you had chosen it.
No, accept and then act.
Well, he says accept the present moment as if you had chosen it. That's radical.
Right.
That's really radical. And then, yes, then he goes on to say what you're about to say, that, you know, then you can take an action. Then you can sort out what can I do here?
But it is a radical acceptance because he says, accept, then act. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. Make it your friend and ally, not your enemy. This will miraculously transform your whole life.
Yeah.
And that is a really hard pill to swallow when things are really bad and traumatic, because why would you have chosen this? But it's not like a spiritual bypassing, oh, I love my life even when things are abusive or traumatic, but it's getting so in touch with the present moment, knowing that it's your reality, that it almost like finds a place of empowerment, because you're like, this is what's happening for me. I can't change it. Where do I need to do now?
And I think you starting this episode off with that beautiful knowing and experience that you had of contentment is the perfect example of what we're talking about. You did not like what was been happening to you for many, 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 many years in your life. And you're right. You always felt like you were singled out to have a life of, you know, things are never going to go my way. I'm not going to get what I want.
Yeah.
I've been singled out to be the one that just has to accept the fact that I'm never going to have what I want. I'm never going to have the life of my dreams or whatever. All those things, all those narratives that kept going on and on in your mind. But you never gave up on yourself. You've been practicing meditation, yoga, all of the things, all the affirmations, the mantras, all of the things. You've been faithful to your practice. And I believe that your practice was faithful to you in that moment that you felt that contentment. Mm-hmm. So you never gave up on yourself.
Right.
And as you said, just a few minutes ago, the miracle, don't give up on the miracle, but the miracles come. What Eckhart Tolle say, the miracle, what did you ended Eckhart Tolle quote with, the miracle of
this will miraculously transform your whole life.
And this is what happened. This is what is happening for you. This is miraculously transforming your whole life, moment by moment by moment, for the past, 30 years, 25, you're 38, 25 years, whatever it is, however long you've been on the planet, but then however long you've been practicing. No, it's so important about that.
It's true.
It's almost like we have to do the work, which is practice, which is sit with ourselves, which is understanding what truth is. We have to do the work of understanding and believing And that's the fake it till you make it, or just understand that this is truth. So I'm going to believe it and do all the things that I need to do. We have to do the work. And the miracle that comes is that the work actually works.
Yeah.
Like it actually does work. And all the people
and
that
I'm
share.
I'm someone that always thought it doesn't work.
Well, you thought it didn't work for you. Because you saw me as an example.
Right, you saw
other people as examples. You've been on retreats or you've been with other spiritual teachers or educators or whatever. You thought it worked for other people. You just did not think that it was possible for it, or you were doing something wrong, that it wasn't working for you.
Yes.
And I think that's, you know, I just feel really strongly that faith is so important. Having faith that your work, your heart, your devotion, your dedication, your deepest desire will come to fruition or will miraculously show up in a flash or show up in a moment one day and transform your whole life.
Yeah, that's like the don't quit before the miracle, because you don't know kind of when things are going to kind of all click together. Like, oh, that's what that is, or that's how that feels, or this now makes sense, or I understand this or that, or why things are this way.
And I think that's why
it's like very subtle.
Yeah. Oh, incredibly subtle. And I think that's why we're doing this podcast, right, Michelle? Is to share our experiences. I'm so passionate about helping all beings, all human beings really get it that you can do this, but you can't have the say in how it's going to show up and when the miracle is going to come.
And you can't control.
And what's going to happen. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about this now. I mean, I've always been passionate about it, but I have a extra dose of massive energy about it is I suffered greatly last year.
Right.
I mean, any of the work colleagues with us, any people that knew me, it was really hard for me day to day. Some days were great, but I felt like I was a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde last year. You know, I could feel good one day and then the next day I couldn't. It was such a roller coaster and such a place. It's one of the first times in my life that I felt like, wow, this could be the one that might break me, because it was so hard and so egregious in so many ways, which this is the year that I'm going to start sharing a lot of that with you all. And now that I'm here in February, March, first quarter of 2024, and I'm just so happy and thriving, even though things are still a little bit hard, it's like, oh my gosh, I can take a deep breath. Oh, I knew that. I've had this experience before. The miracle happened. I feel transformed. And so my greatest desire today on this episode is that everybody listening just kind of take a deep breath and take in what it might feel like to have faith. To faith in things that you can't see. It's hard. It's really, really hard.
Well, because your mind will tell you that you're delusional.
Exactly.
But living in delusion, I have to say, I remember, was it last year? The whole lucky girl thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Last year, you know, the lucky girl syndrome and just blindly believing in your luckiness and that everything always works out for you. I remember, I think actually we talked about it on one of the episodes.
We did. Mm-hmm. We did.
I kind of tried that out because I was in that space last year of like, what else? What do I have to lose? Like, why don't I just try something else to see if it works? Because who knows? Like, I was still kind of in that desperate space of what do I have to lose with trying out something new like that? But it was that path to being just completely delusional about your life. And that's kind of the fake it till you make it that I found really worked for me, given the mindset that I was living with and how I was feeling about my life and what I was believing about my life was things don't work out. I'm never going to get what I want. I'm always going to be frustrated. I'm not ever going to feel a certain way. And back in that era, the delusion of it was to believe so strongly that you can have everything that you want and that everything will always work out for you. that was a great practice for me because it really, it's like what, again, saying the same thing in different terms through different lenses, but like we talk about with, you know, creating new grooves in the brain or changing the narrative that you say to yourself or switching out a negative thought for a positive one. That practice for me helped me to kind of patch up the groove in my brain that said the one thing of nothing ever works out to everything always works out. And obviously I don't think I live through the everything always works out mindset 24/7, but it almost kind of brought me into some sort of equilibrium of like the gray in between.
I love that because you were all the way to one side that it never works out. You were in the never
right
realm. And now you're in the, okay, I'm going to open up to the possibility that maybe it can. And I also feel, you know, I just feel so strongly that we are so hard on ourselves. And the mind is, I believe the mind is our biggest, could use the word problem, but then we could use the word opportunity. We use the word example of where we need to start with our lives. We must start with the thoughts in the mind. We have to start with the thoughts in the mind because the mind can be our greatest enemy or our most amazing ally. And it only becomes our most amazing ally when we learn to train it because the mind wants to be the boss. For whatever reason, we came into this earth and once we were through the little beautiful baby, innocent, just really beautiful stage of being a baby. And then we start to realize that we can do whatever we want. We can think whatever we want. And we start to get our power a little bit as a 2-year-old or whatever that is. It starts to all go downhill unless we understand that, wait, that mind that's telling me things that aren't true can't be the boss of me.
Right.
I have to educate it a little bit and say, no, you know what? I'm worth it here. I saw a video online yesterday and there was a little 7-year-old boy. There's a little 7-year-old girl. They're in school and the little 7-year-old girl was being bullied and she was crying. And the little 7-year-old boy came up to her and said, what's the matter? I'm going to cry. And he said, what's the matter? And she said, I'm being bullied at school. You know what he did? He took her hand and he said, don't listen to what they are saying about you. Don't pay attention to that. You are smart. You are strong. You are beautiful.
A seven-year-old
said that. Don't listen to what they are saying about you. It's not true. And so if we're having trouble understanding that the thoughts in the mind for the most part are rarely true, think about your 7-year-old self that might want to try and help a little 7-year-old who's being bullied. You know, you are that 7-year-old if you're believing that the thoughts in the mind are telling you that you don't deserve better, you're not worthy, you're meant to suffer, you're meant to be in pain all of the time. I have to accept that this is my lot in life. You know, my life last year with going through that divorce, it was so hard because my mind was making it hard and I was believing. Yeah. I was believing that I wanted nothing more than to be divorced after 3 years, well, after 33 years of life, but after the 3 years of separation and COVID and the lockdown and everything, I could see the expansion, the beauty that my life could be and the freedom that I could have being me. So I knew all of that, but as 2023 started progressing and the divorce was becoming more and more a reality, I kept thinking, wait a minute, I don't know. And the mind kept saying, yeah, what are you thinking? You're going to be divorced twice now? Maybe you need to rethink this. It's not that bad. It's not, you can still kind of live this way. And then the real truthful part of me was saying, no, I've got so many more things in life that I want to do. And what has happened in this past relationship is not okay. So it's very interesting. So the mind was doing a huge number on me the whole of 2023.
Well, yeah, you shocked me because you are proof that in certain situations and in certain extremely difficult situations, and no matter how long your practice and knowing everything that you know, your mind can still write stories and you can believe them. Because I will never forget how shocked I was when you and I were talking and you were going through this divorce and you were so upset. And I was like, what are you so upset about right now in this moment? Because like you were saying, this was something that you wanted. You were so excited. You were so happy. This was like a great thing. And you said, I can't be divorced twice. I was like,
What?
But it was so great because I'm like, that's what's bothering you? Like, I just never thought I would be someone who's has two divorces. And obviously I had compassion for you in this in that moment, but I was like, who cares? That's the narrative that's plaguing you out of everything else. I thought we were going to have to like really dive deep into, I don't know, remembering why you're doing what you're doing. But I was like, your mind was telling you that there's something wrong with you because you're going to have two divorces. And I'm sure it's a lot of the Catholic upbringing of, you know, never getting divorced or whatever. But that was so huge for me because I never in a million years would have thought that that was the story that your mind was telling you, that you, that was getting you so upset. And I can't remember where I was tying that back to, but
no, I think it's a perfect example. And that's what we're trying to say, that the mind is telling you that you can't accept what's happening in this present moment because you can't bear it. Other people aren't going to like it. Society is going to shun you.
Yeah.
You're going to lose all your friends. These are all the things that my mind was, you're going to lose all your friends. They're not going to choose you. You know, all of the things. And what I want to say about that, it's so sweet that you said that, you know, after practicing for 40 years. But what I want to say to everyone there, that we are always healing. And what happened to me last year, going through all of this stuff and the mind beating me up like this, Michelle is right. It was torture sometimes. I got to a place now here, you know, 8 months later or 6 months later, it's where miraculously my life has been transformed. I peeled another layer from the inside of the trauma and the abuse and all of the things that I've gone through as a child all the way up. Like we go through major traumas, we go through mini traumas, we go through a lot of chaos, a lot of disruption, a lot of chaos over the past 33 years. So I peeled a layer off of that. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be another layer where I might find myself, oh, I can't have this happen or whatever it is in any context in my life. It's just a miracle that occurs when we can stay the course. Right. And sometimes staying the course is white knuckling it. Sometimes staying the course is I'm in a rowboat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and I cannot see any shore anywhere. So I have to dig deep and have faith that I will get to where I need to be in the next moment. I may not see it. I can't see it. I'm in this little rowboat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, but I just trust that I'm going to see land in one of these next moments. And the next, I guess what I want to say now though, is the next moment could be a week. It could be a month. I mean, I was doing this all year. It could be a year. It could be whatever it is, but not dwelling on that. And this is another 12-step recovery quote, I can do anything for this moment that I couldn't imagine saying that I could do for a lifetime. And that is the practice of being in the moment, accepting what is in this present moment and knowing that it's going to change. I can't say that I could do all this for a lifetime, but I do trust, have faith, and know that the next moment is not going to be like the past moment. And the next moment is not going to be like the next moment. And so really having that unshakable faith, I use this in my meditation every morning for the past 40 years. I have unshakable faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the unshakable faith, even if sometimes I hope this unshakable faith is real. You know, there's sometimes you feel that way. But it is real. And then there's a little voice that'll come up inside of me. It's real, Barb. You know, it's real. You've had so many experiences of this. You got this. It's real. Just hang on. The next moment's going to be better. Or the next moment is going to give you, maybe not better, but it's going to give you another choice of what step you can take.
Yeah, I love that. Let's take another quick break. And we're back.
I think letting go of the outcomes of what we think has to be and putting faith in it will be not only okay, well, actually might get to that place of contentment that you talked about in the beginning.
Well, it's also that, like what I was saying last week, I think, or maybe the week before, of starting to love your path and your journey so much that you trust it, that it's not going to lead you astray. And there are times where you're going to feel like it does. And you're going to say, what the heck? I did not want this. How did I get here? Why is this part of my journey? what do I do? Like you could even feel so far off your path, but I think that's kind of maybe the beauty of loving your own unique path so much that the times where you feel so far off is all part of the plan.
Absolutely. It is. I'm going to tell you it is. And I think,
but it's hard to digest that when you feel at the mercy of and victim to life and what happens and other people and injustices. I mean, it's so layered because certainly I don't say this through the lens of like, you know, human bias and injustice where like we're cruel people doing cruel things to each other. So it's just, you know, it's hard to, I find myself feeling like it's hard to talk about this because there's wars going on. So how can you say, oh, your life path was meant to be this way? You're meant to be in a war. But so I want to interject.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I don't like that it's meant to be.
No. Yeah, great.
I don't like that it's meant to be. Right. I don't use that.
Right.
I did in the beginning of my practice because that's what everybody uses. Oh, it's meant to be. It's a blessing. I think saying that things are meant to be, I think it's cute.
Did I say that?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about, I think it's energetically beautiful when we say, oh, that was meant to be. But we usually say that in hindsight. We usually say that after the trauma or after we say, okay, now I get it. You know, I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this, but it's led me to this. And the fact that there are wars or the fact that there is so much rape and so much awful sexual content that is harming children, so much about children. I'm like over the top. I can't even use the right word because I don't know what it is about all of the injustices that are happening to children today and all the injustices that are happening to marginalized people, all the things. You're right, Michelle. It's a lot. And I can't go to the place of it's meant to be. That they're in this place for a reason and all of that. Because I think it takes my mind in a place and it takes too long to get to the place of, okay, this is happening now. Okay, this is the moment. This is happening now. Now, what am I being called to do? And I'm certainly not being called to ruminate on how it's meant to be. It'll all be revealed later. But I can, in the moment, feel the pain and the suffering of it and the compassion for it and sort out, okay, now what could I do? Or is there any little small tiny step that I could take that might go into the direction of being useful and helpful? Yeah. I don't know if this makes any sense.
No, it does. I just wanted to interject that.
Because I'm glad you did.
It's two conversations, honestly. Obviously, there are so many things that are happening where this conversation of loving your journey and accepting what is just, you're not thinking about that because there's more important things to be thinking about. But when you can get into this place of using these tools for the everyday life, I think that's where it really started to benefit me. And I think that's where acceptance came into my life of loving my path so much, leading to a trust that my path won't betray me and my life won't betray me. And that it is that faith, like you were saying, in the things not seen of believing it before you see it, knowing that one day it'll make sense. And if it doesn't make sense yet, it's not done. And
yeah,
you just
gave me I just had a little awakening.
Oh, can't wait to hear. And just that's like, and this might not be true for you, but that's where I've found the well of hope and optimism of being even like excited and curious for the next day, because maybe I'll get another piece to my puzzle. Huh. And I love doing puzzles. So maybe that's why this analogy, you know, you get another piece and you're like, ah, wow. Okay. Like this picture is starting to become more clear. And that's kind of the place that I'm in right now of, you know, my puzzle isn't complete so to speak, in this moment. But each new day I'm getting new situations and new people and new opportunities and new mindsets and revelations and healing and self-care and whatever to kind of fill in the gaps.
Beautiful, Michelle. And I think that we're not, I think what I want to go back to a little bit, you're right, is the whole premise of this idea of acceptance. It doesn't mean accepting that what's happening is okay. And I think that's key. Doesn't mean that all of the things that we're talking about are okay. It means that once we can accept that it's actually happening, we're not trying to deceive ourselves. We're not trying to pretend like it's not happening. We're not trying to feed into the injustices of how could this be happening to me? Because it takes you into a place of almost separation. You know, I can't have this happen to me.
Right.
So we're not talking about any of that. The acceptance is accepting that actually this is happening right now. And for me, what happens when I actually can accept this, and it wasn't until I could accept the fact that my mind was trying to beat me up so much about getting divorced. It wasn't until I finally accepted the fact that, wait a minute, I'm getting divorced. I am happy about it. And that's it. And so it was almost a clarity, but also a freedom of that I wasn't blocked from the answers and the truth of where my happiness lies. Because I think if we can't accept what's happening in the moment, we're blocking ourselves. We're blocking ourselves from feeling the feelings that we need to feel to get the answers that we need for maybe the next action that we might take. So we just to lean into accepting what is happening in the moment doesn't mean that it's okay. It means that, okay, this is happening and I can't stop it. I can't control it right now. But I will have the answer of how to stop it. What actions can I take that are going to protect me? Or that are going to make me safe, or they're going to make me feel, wait a minute, whole again.
Right.
Or make me feel the love and the beauty that I am. It's all the things. We block ourselves so much. We prevent ourselves so much from the answers that we need to take the next tiny step by not accepting the present moment as it is.
And I also think, even if nothing else, we expend so much of our energy resisting what is and fighting back of what is, or even the why me. I think of so much of my energy and creativity and mind, mental, anything was wasted in so long. Why me? Why me? And obviously I don't take it back because it's part of my journey, but there's so much time and effort and energy that is spent and expended fighting the reality rather than coming to terms with reality and asking yourself, okay, what do I want to do with this in this moment? And creating that space. Like, you know, again, Viktor Frankl's quote that we say all the time on this show, between stimulus and response, there's the space. And he was writing those words from, you know, an ultimate
death
traumatic
camp.
Traumatic, the worst thing you can imagine, horrible, horrifying situation, being in that space of, okay, even here, even in the worst kind of surroundings and environment, where can I find my power? It's in having the space between a situation and how I'm going to respond to it. And that to me is the empowerment of acceptance, and everything else is kind of like, this came to me while you were talking, like thinking of life and your mind as like a whack-a-mole. Like, you know, you're thinking, cause the thing is, it's funny. The moment I said, you know, this today that, oh, I had this moment before I was going to sleep the other night and I felt happy and content. Like my mind's going to come back tomorrow and be like, gotcha, sucker. Guess what? Because that's life. It's never finished. And our minds are always going to bring up situations that maybe we think we were quote unquote done with, or with you, with the, I can't have one more divorce that I never would have thought would have been, you know, something that you would struggle with. It's like that whack-a-mole of, okay, what is the story that my mind's going to bring in next that I'm going to have to work extra hard to counteract or counterbalance? And knowing that that's like where the practice comes into play of being kind of on guard all the time. And also that's when you're being totally attuned to and present to the present moment, you can be on guard of witnessing what comes up in your reactions to life and witnessing the stories that your mind tells you in reaction to difficult situations, and having those tools in your back pocket to say, nope, that's not true. Or nope, I'm not going to do that today. Or nope, I'm not going to engage that thought pattern that I've already, you know, put to bed years ago. It's like whack-a-mole.
Because even for you,
we've had a lot of conversations about this lately with body image. And, you know, for someone like you and for me, having long histories of difficult relationships with body, you saying you've been in recovery for 40 years, people might think, oh, she's good. But like, nope, that mole comes up and you got to whack it.
That is true.
You know, you think you've got one
gently whack it.
Well, right. No, I'm not talking about actual animals. It's the game.
It is a game.
You know, you think you've got one area of your life sorted and then another one pops up when you least expect it. And it's like being so centered within yourself and having the confidence within yourself to know that you can handle whatever life puts in your path, that you can simultaneously whack the moles.
Yeah. And just trusting. I think that's the biggest thing. You brought up Viktor Frankl, who is someone that we love. And for those of you that don't know who he is, you know, he survived the Holocaust. You know, his mother was killed. His wife was killed. His father had died right before the Holocaust. He literally was in Auschwitz alone. And so for someone like him who survived the Holocaust, and what I love so much about his writings, his book, Man's Search for Meaning, he's in exactly what we're talking about. I mean, certainly the circumstances are the most horrific circumstances you can imagine. And he wrote things like, when we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. This is what we're trying to say here today,
right,
my friends. It's really about, okay, I can't change this situation. And I just want you for a moment to imagine Viktor Frankl in a Nazi concentration camp, sitting in the corner wherever he was, freezing and just being treated so horrifically, thinking, I can't change this situation. I'm not able to change this situation. So now I have to change myself. Or I'm imagining if I don't change myself in whatever way I can to accept this situation for this moment, I'm going to go crazy.
Right. You're going to pile on to an already bad situation.
Exactly. And I'm not sure it could ever get any worse, but it could, because the mind can be so much worse. We've got a horrific situation and you got the mind piling on. Beautifully said, Michelle. So, and then he goes on to write things like, everything can be taken from us, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance, to choose one's own way. Mm-hmm. I want to cry right now. I have so many goosebumps because he, to me, is the epitome of acceptance. I didn't choose this to happen to me. I didn't choose for my mother to be killed. I didn't choose for my wife to be killed. I didn't choose to be living this life of horror, but I don't have the ability to change it right now. So I have to accept it for this one moment. And I believe, I don't know this because certainly I don't know him and I didn't speak to him, but I believe how he was helping himself handle this horrible kind of a life was moment to moment. This is what it is this moment, but right, every moment changes. So next moment, it might not be this way. And so eventually there was a moment when he was free physically, but he had already freed himself mentally, or began the process. I'm not sure we get totally free mentally, because life is always a process, I believe. We're here to learn and grow constantly. So he had already begun the lifelong journey of freeing his mind, because the mind can be worse than the physical things sometimes that we endure. So he is a huge mentor of mine. And I love having mentors and teachers that I've never met.
Right.
You know, I think so. It's really important.
Well, that is your...
Yeah, that's my thing.
That's your reading for inspiration of finding insights from other people who have experienced similar things, different things, extreme things, and how they got through it.
Yeah. So if you're having trouble getting through, my great suggestion would be find a book or a teaching or a person that kind of speaks the language that you're looking for in whatever situation you're in right now. And, you know, if you're having a really difficult time accepting a situation, Viktor Frankl helped. I mean, he saved my life in so many ways in reading this book, but I read it last year, 2023. I was reading it like bits and pieces of it. I've read it so many times cover to cover, but bits and pieces of it so that I could bring myself back to truth.
Right.
So if you just think of yourself as I've ventured away from what is true and real in this moment, let me come back to the truth so that I'm not causing myself more pain and suffering, and that I can actually have the freedom to take an action. Because he then also says in this book, I love this too so much because it makes it real. It makes it like, not that situation okay, but we're not crazy. An abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is normal behavior. Put that on your bathroom mirror, everyone. Like if you are now beating yourself up or causing yourself to go down some horrible place with a terrible, horrible situation you're in, just understand that your reaction right now is normal behavior because it's not a normal situation. It's abnormal. And once you can realize that and stop trying to change the situation or stop trying to negate that it's happening and start accepting that it's happening, then your behavior can start to be helpful little by little by little. So I'm guessing with Viktor Frankl in the concentration camp, to the best of whatever's possible, I can't even imagine it, he was able to feel a sense of sanity and normalcy, I guess.
Well, that is the power of living moment to moment, like you were saying, yeah, of being so present to have the space to choose and to choose whether or not you want to engage with one thought or the other.
Yes.
And that's really where acceptance lives. It's not condoning an injustice or rolling over to a horror. It's being in tune. It's being so present that you're in tune with reality enough to have the space to ask yourself, what do I want to do here? Or what works best for me in this moment? And what's an action that I can take? And using your energy, I mean, I can't say because I was not there and this is not my lived experience, but I would have to imagine that being in resistance to your reality and something as horrific as a concentration camp, you wouldn't want to drain your energy in that way. You would want to conserve your energy in a sense of, okay, what's the best way to work through this and move through this situation, and using your energy wisely and not spinning your wheels of why or why me or how could this happen, but what can I do here?
And I think it's hard. And
of course.
We know it's hard. And why I, just listening to what you were saying, Michelle, why I think it's hard is that in that moment that it's happening, we are abhorring the situation and feeling like this is not okay. And especially if you're a social justice or a person that really cares, I don't mean that we all don't care, but that really wants to find all beings be free and not have these horrific things happen in our lives. It's easy to fall to that place first. Oh my God, I'm so angry. This is not okay. Blah, 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 all the things that are happening. And so what has to happen is we have to accept the moment and get through it so that we can have the energy and have the knowledge and the awareness and the tools to fight injustice. Like it's really a conundrum. We have to conserve our energy to get through the situation so that then we can come out the other side and do something about it. And that could take a year. It could take a month. I think he was in a concentration camp for 3 years, 2-3 years. It seems like indescribable, not even possible. And so I don't know if that makes sense, but there is that thing that you have to accept the present moment and work with what's there first. And then once you come out, it fuels you and gives you the tools and the awareness that you need to fight the injustice or fight what has happened or do something about it. It never means just accepting the pain and the suffering and the injustices. It means, okay, this is happening right now. I got to accept it and see the truth of it so that, and survive. This is what I want to say. And survive. I got to accept it, see the truth of it and survive, knowing and having faith I'm going to come out the other side with the ability to thrive and really do the things that I can do to make the difference, or that I can make the change. But to spend our time changing things that we have no control over, which is what Viktor Frankl said, is just not possible.
Yeah.
So, wow, this was really, I'm a little worn out. I don't know how all you guys feel, but I'm a little worn out. The only other thing I want to leave everyone with is there is a St. Teresa of Avila prayer. Mm-hmm. I don't need to read the whole thing because it's the most, for me, the biggest important part that changed my life almost 35 years ago is patience attains all things.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, when I get out of control, so just imagine yourself out of control, which means I can't control what's happening and I'm trying to change the present moment. When I get out of control, when I get anxious when I'm driving and things aren't going the way that I want them to go, or I'm late, or I'm already rattled because of something that has happened. So now I'm so irritated about driving and everybody's so rude. When I get to that place of not having patience or very little patience, I think about this line, patience attains all things. And for me, that means patience brings me back to the present moment and the truth. And attaining all things for me, if I'm driving and acting like a crazy person, means I bring myself back to some sense of peace from the inside out, which means my power,
mm-hmm.
my place of understanding and truth.
I love that.
So I love you, Michelle.
This has been
wonderful. Thank you for starting this conversation off with your contentment.
And I love
all of you listening. Thank you for being here and for allowing me today to... I felt like I was a little ranting and preachy, but...
No, I loved it. I can't wait to listen back to this one.
I really feel strongly. So check out Man's Search for Meaning.
Yep.
If You're So Called by Viktor Frankl. When I was a little girl, my godmother gave me a little tiny pamphlet. Maybe you could find it somewhere. A little tiny pamphlet that was titled Acceptance, The Way to Serenity and Peace of Mind. I never forgot that. And I think that laid the foundation.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that.
For the life that I've always been seeking and living. And then there was one more book I wanted to tell you to do, or to maybe check out. If I think about it, we'll put it in the show notes, as you say, Michelle. But Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. I know. You're teaching me.
I love it.
I love you.
Love you. Thank you, Mom. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And hopefully this conversation was helpful in redefining acceptance and how we can start to live from that place, no matter what life is bringing us. It's a huge game changer. Let us know what you think and let us know your thoughts. And if you have any other questions or comments about the topic, we, of course, always love to hear from you all.
You know, Michelle, you say this
every
time.
She brought the mic back to her.
Well, because I think in this episode in particular, it's so important if something didn't make sense or if we weren't clear and there's a great misunderstanding or a great unknowing or it's just not settling with you, please, please, please. Send us an email, send us a message, send us a DM, because I want it to be clear and I don't want to cause any more, you know, disruption or any more anxiety or agitation. So thank you.
Yeah. The best way to do so is making sure you're connected with us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That's the best way to send a message or get in touch. If you are loving the show, which we hope you are, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so that you're always up to date with each new episode. And it's really helpful for us and the show and a way to show support. And if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. That's another free, quick, easy way to help the show. And it is so meaningful to us, and we're always so appreciative to everyone who does so. Lastly, we do have some cute new merch available that I am loving. I have not taken off the crew neck sweatshirt all week. It's been super cozy. Mom was wearing the cute t-shirt that we designed. It's a new take on our trust your timing mantra. So
acceptance.
Yes. Cute new colors, cute new styles. There's the link in our show notes to shop. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Hey.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.